Welcome to episode 186 of the Martin Bailey Photography Podcast. So today we're going to be looking at the three winners, third, second and first place in the assignment for March 2009, which was on complexity. And it's going to be one of those ad lib, clicking around, looking at the browser as I speak sort of episodes, so excuse that. But hopefully we'll have a little bit of fun looking at the images. And we'll get back to a normal podcast again next week. But let's just jump right into it and find out who won the complexity assignment. Okay, so as usual, before we start, we just remind you that if you don't know how to look at the images that we're talking about now, if you have an iPod that can play the M4A enhanced podcast files, then just look at your screen as we're talking and the images will flash up just automatically. Or you can go, if you're in iTunes, click on that little, I think it's an arrow that shows the thumbnails, and then you should be able to click on the thumbnail in the bottom left of the screen and enlarge the image, which will also, allow you to see it there in iTunes. And if you go to the podcasts page at martinbaileyphotography.com as well and search for this episode, you can, you'll see the thumbnails there. You can flick through them from there. But also, for the assignments, I have a page that's linked to the podcasts menu. Hang on, actually, it's not. Let me just go over there. It's linked to the gallery menu. So if you look down the gallery menu in martinbaileyphotography.com, there's a 2009 monthly photo assignment scores link. And I'll also put a link to this page in the show notes. But basically, that will show you a page that has the winners for each of the assignments on there, including the a graph with the scores, the votes that everyone that was voted for gets for each assignment. And then there's a total votes graph for the whole year. So you a little bit of fun looking around there and see how many votes people have got. I don't count zero votes. So if you enter an assignment and you don't see your name in the list, it means that unfortunately nobody voted for your image. But please don't feel too bad about that. The main point about this assignment is the participation, and just actually getting you out there and shooting is the main thing. If you are upset about not getting voted for, try to think about what you might have done. Maybe you misinterpreted the assignment theme, or maybe you're just slightly not as good as the rest, and that obviously happens. There's going to be always a winner, and the two runners up, and people only have three votes. So I know that in the forum a lot of the time people discuss how difficult it is to vote for these assignments, and so people do go to a lot of pains to apply their votes to the images that they feel match the theme the most, and then have got the better artistic feel, and various things that people are putting their mind to when they're voting. So it is difficult, and the fact that you don't get in the list is unfortunate, but I wouldn't feel too badly about it. Anyway, so they're the ways you can search. If you go to the scores page from the gallery menu, and then click on that, you'll basically be able to see the images in there with all of the graphs and the data. And also, I'll call out a number with each one, with each image, and so you can just go to the bottom of the podcasts menu there, and or on the podcast page as well. Actually, I think I've removed that. And enter the number that I'm about to call out. And for the members' images, you have to prefix it with M for member, and then the number, and then that will jump you automatically to the image in the mbpgalleries.com site to view the image. So anyway, without further ado, the first image, let me just have a quick look around. In third place, we have Zodiac-y, with an image called Suds. And this is image number M12460. This is just a wonderful image, definitely one of my favourites as well from this batch. It looks as though, this is Alan O'Neill, and it looks as though Alan has used a 100mm macro lens. He's in pretty close. He's set an aperture of 5.6, and so what we can see is we've got, and I'm sure this was on purpose, but if it wasn't, it's a real stroke of genius, because what we've got is, with the name Suds, he's obviously looking down on a bowl or something full of soap suds, or maybe even holding them up. But, because they're all sort of flat, they look as though they're on a perfect parallel to the lens plane, or the focal plane. So, basically it looks like we're looking down here on a bowl of suds, but the 5.6 aperture is actually, what it's meant is that there's a layer of suds below this as well. This is why it's kind of confusing. Maybe this is a reflection of the ones that we're looking at. I'm not quite sure. But it's just like there's two layers of these suds. And so we've got one that is perfectly crisp and sharp. And that's, that in itself is complex, that where it's right on target with the theme. We've got a number of large bubbles in here. So we've got like two over to the top right there. Look a little bit like spider's eyes, especially there as we've got like two slightly smaller ones below. And there are spiders that have these sort of eyes, where they've got the sets of eyes in various positions on the head. And so that's what it reminds me of up in the top right. But then over to the left, we've got another large one with a slightly smaller one that looks like a number of sort of these bubbles that are all interlocking. And of course, between each one, we've got smaller bubbles. And so you can really get into it. It's a very simple concept, because they're just bubbles, spheres or close to spherical shapes, all sort of interlocked together. But because between each one, there's this little line and then there's a number of other ones, almost like a snowflake, the way they sort of branch out. And then, as I say, this wonderful sort of second layer, that once you've done, at least the way I looked at it, once you've done sort of peering through and basically looking, browsing around all of the various beautiful shapes in the top layer, then you realize that there's this second layer, and you can go through each of the larger bubbles and look and start to explore that. And it's just, it's pretty masterful. I'm not sure. Maybe we'll hear something about this in the forum later. We often do, but I'm not sure how much Alan thought about all of this. But to me, it's a pretty masterfully done image and very worthy of a place. So that's well earned third place to Alan O'Neill for Suds. In second place, we have image number M12446, which is by R. O'Doherty, and that is, of course, as we know, it's Rod, and this is an image called The Path to Peace. And this, I'm going to read out Rod's comment here before we sort of take a look at the image itself. Rod writes that the peace maze was, hang on, let me say that again. The peace maze was created to represent the route and the process to be taken by the people of Northern Ireland to achieve peace in the years following the 1998 Good Friday Agreement. People exploring the maze will face choices, good and bad, frustrations and compromises, and may have to trust others to help them achieve their goal. The success of some will encourage others to talk and cooperate in finding the right path to join them. And Rod also gives us a URL here to investigate more about this. It's www.peacemaze.com. So take a look at that if you're interested. I find that a touching comment or caption that Rod's added here. But that gives us some context, of course. We now understand a little bit more about what we're looking at. But it's pretty easy to see. As you look across this, it's been shot with an 18mm, so a nice wide-angle lens here. We're looking out across a maze, obviously, and it takes up maybe just over two-thirds, not quite possibly three-quarters, but a good two-thirds of the screen, of the frame. And it's, the way Rod's positioned it is so that, we can see we've got it, the first portion of the maze is running almost the whole way across the bottom of the frame. Well, it is, but then there's a bit of shadow there. But then we have a number of intersections and, as the maze sort of goes around, and he's nicely positioned a portion of the maze in the sort of the left third sort of quadrant there, where it breaks it up a little bit, gives us something to, it leads the eye in. You can actually find yourself, I actually found myself starting to follow through the maze as though I was walking the maze. And then you obviously come to a dead end because it's not the whole maze, but you find yourself sort of walking through it. And then sort of when you find that you run off the edge of the image, you come back in and you start to have a wander around again. And it really does captivate your imagination and, just sort of leads you in and through and around the image. There's like a swirling sort of spiral effect over in the top part there. And you really do find yourself looking around the maze. But then before too long, you also go across to the back of the image, and then there's some trees, and then some like farmed land on some nice rolling hills, and then some larger mountains in the background, at least large peaks, and then there's a beautiful like dramatic sky, cloudy sky with a bit of sun, some sun poking through, and basically, all in all, a very nice sort of serene image. And I think that Rod's done a really, really good job of captivating the imagination with the lines, and then depicting a pretty beautiful scene in this wide angle image. The tones as well, a little bit brown sort of at the top there. I'm not sure. It looks as though possibly there's been a little bit of sort of local adjustment across the top of the image here. The tone and qualities are slightly different, but that may just be the light. Because it does look as though there's some cloud there, and so the light was possibly just different across the top. But all in all, still, very, very nice image. I love the clouds, and there's really a lot to keep you engaged in this image. So great job on second place there, Rod, and another good entrant for the assignment. And very close to Rod, actually, there was one point in it, is the first place winner, and this is an image from Dennis Brennan from the US, and the image is number M12552, and this one, another very sort of simple the image itself is but not complex in itself. But then when you look into it, you've got this just thousands, hundreds and thousands of, again, bubbles. And this time, the image is called Boiling Point. And I think what's happened here is that Dennis has probably a pan, a saucepan or something on the stove. And it's as the bubbles start to form before it really starts to boil. If that is what's happening here, there's no caption, so we don't know the details, but if that is what's happening here, then Dennis was pretty brave. He'd got his lens looming over an almost boiling pan of water. So, full marks for bravery as well as artistic vision and execution here. I can see from the EXIF data that this was shot at f14. So, we're just closing it down enough to give us maximum depth of field before we start to sort of lose the sharpness. And it's also, we can see that 16 tenths of a second. So just over 1.5 seconds here for the exposure. So, we can say it's a dark image, and we've got sort of two thirds, like a semicircle, a crescent sort of shape, where it looks like there's a little bit more light hitting the bubbles, and then it goes off into a darker area, and then we have like a really sort of dark, almost like a vignette across the top right and left corners. But again, similar to the first image that we looked at from Alan, this time we've got again lots and lots of bubbles. the patterns aren't quite the same this time. There isn't that sort of snowflake or sort of spider's web sort of interjunctions, the intersections, but just the repeated bubbles with these little tiny like catch lights in each one, lots of different sizes, a little bit more sort of conformity, again, large, medium and small size bubbles, and they're all sort of spread out equally, and then they get finer and finer, almost like fish scales, as they get towards the back of the pan. So it's again very captivating. There's you can jump in here and look through and just sort of get lost in all of these bubbles as you sort of look through the image. I think that it's again complexity in it. I think the way both the first the first image that we looked at from Alan O'Neill and this one, obviously they're similar because they're bubbles, but also I find them interesting because they've both depicted complexity with simplicity. That it's like bubbles, so there's not much more simple than that. So, but used bubbles in a way that basically it comes across as being pretty complex. So I think well done there. I mean, I would never have thought of doing this, and I just think it's great the way you've visualized and obviously set up an image here and then gone off and shot them. Great execution. And, in no way trying to play down Rod's shot. It's a different sort of thing. But here I just think that the way the third and the first place images from Alan and from Dennis have used a relatively simple concept to win in an assignment on complexity. So really great work all around there, and congratulations to all three of you. I'm thinking as well, looking at this, the names of these three people, we have O'Neill, O'Doherty, and Brennan. So although it looks as though only Rod is actually in Northern Ireland at the moment, it looks as though we've got a bit of an Irish or an Irish ancestry thing going on here today. So that's pretty interesting to see as well. So that's about it for today. Don't forget that the current assignment, which is on humorous, is underway at the moment for April. There's a few more weeks of that left in progress. Pretty tough one. I have no idea what I'm going to shoot right now. I'm still racking my brains, but it's a difficult one. I want to just quickly as well thank everybody that participated in this assignment and all of the assignments. If you took the time to shoot, that's great. If you took the time to vote as well, that's great. And if you didn't, I do appreciate that, it might not be for you. But if you can, I think most people that do get involved find it rewarding. So, if you could sort of pick up the camera, go out and try and find something that strikes you as humorous and get involved in the April assignment, that'll be great as well. But that's about it. We'll sign off for there, and I'll be back again next week with another Martin Bailey Photography Podcast. Until then, you have a great week, whatever you're doing. Bye-bye. The Martin Bailey Photography Podcast is a proud member of the Photocast Network. Find this and other great photography podcasts at photocastnetwork.com.